Hey, we are thrilled each and every Thursday now at 4 o'clock. We've got a new segment for you here on the Kenny and JT Show. As we talked about earlier in this edition of the Kenny and JT Show, gambling, 21 states now, I think, officially, you're allowed to wager on NFL games in legally. And the Buckeye State trying to become the 22nd state or one of the other states that are hanging in the balance on that thing. So hopefully it'll happen soon. So you need some information, right? You need to get the ins and the outs on the college games and the pros games. So if you are going to wager, you want to feel good about your bets. So let's go to the Wake 'em Way hotline and bring in Chris Van Dyne from North Coast Sports, professional handicapper for them for many, many years. And he'll join us each and every Thursday here at 4 p.m. How are you, Chris?
I'm great, Kenny, and I'm happy to be back with you guys for another week. Big week here at North Coast Sports. Coming off first week wasn't great. Wasn't what we wanted, but we are hungry to bounce back and have a big second week and a lot of good games this week and some games in Ohio that I think we're going to talk about.
Absolutely, yeah. Go ahead, JT.
Chris, for me anyway, it's all about trends, and you gave us a lot of great insight last week, a lot of great information. But you know, when it all boils down to, is it too early to find trends in a lot of these teams? In other words, when you're looking at these teams like the Clemsons and the Georgias and the Oklahomas of the world, what do we learn from these Power Five teams?
Well, I think that first off, it's a little bit of a unique year because everybody is so experienced for the most part, because so many of these guys took advantage of that extra year they were given. And, you know, normally when we're looking at a team that has 19 returning starters, mm-hmm. they're one of the most experienced teams in the country. But this year, everybody's got 19 returning starters. So I think it is going to be a little bit of a harder year to handicap for the first couple weeks until we figure out what these teams are. And the other thing that's hard is, last year we didn't see a lot of non-conference matchups. Some teams played very few games, so it was hard to get a read. But it is interesting when you see a game like that Georgia-Clemson game mm-hmm. with, two teams with some changes, especially Clemson, right. You know, new quarterback, new receiver, new running backs. And you see how much the defense is ahead of the offenses right now. So I definitely think that we learned a lot last week, but there's still a lot to learn with these teams because, you know, it's a weird year right. with how experienced everybody is.
And that's usually the case. The defense should be ahead of the offense, especially early on. I expected a little bit more offense from both those teams, and I was really amazed. Now, for most of us here in the heart of Ohio State country, a lot of people look at that game and say, okay, you didn't put Minnesota away, but you talked about 20 returning starters like you just did in that other game. How should we feel about a team that either covers the spread or pushes?
Well, if at the end of the day you get the job done,
right?
You know, that means a lot. But there's more to it than just if they covered the spread or if they pushed. You know, you got to look at the stats in the game. You got to see how the game was played because you don't want to just get enamored with did a team win or lose a game. A team that I'm looking at playing against this week in Northern Illinois. If you look at the game last week, they beat Georgia Tech. But, and you know, that was a huge cover considering they were getting over 18 points. But then you look at the game, Georgia Tech got their, you know, lost their starting quarterback in the second quarter. And they got out, Northern Illinois got out gained by 128 yards. There's things within the game that you can find. Washington, which I'll talk about later, they had mm-hmm. a 14-2 first down edge in the first half last week in that game against Montana, which they lost.
They lose.
But, you know, they could have been up big in the first half, and they really lost yeah. opportunity. So maybe they're not as bad as people think they are.
Chris Van Dyne is our guest, lead handicapper, North Coast Sports. Follow him on Twitter, at Chris V, as in victory, Chris V 160. Also, you can follow them on Twitter, at NC Sports number one, the digital number one there, for information throughout everything that they do on a weekly basis. He is also the host of the Power Sweep podcast. And Chris, let's go to the Buckeyes this week, all right? They're coming off a win where, depending on what number you had last week, they either covered or you pushed. It was a road game. This time they're at home against a ranked team, 11th or 12th, depending on which poll you look at, in Oregon, who we don't know yet whether or not they'll have their best defensive player. So how are you guys looking at this game in which the Buckeyes are favored anywhere from 13.5 to 14.5 points.
Well, a couple ways to look at this game. And, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau not being there is going to affect both angles for what we're looking at. First off, Oregon's offense really struggled to move the ball last week. Their first half, their first two touchdowns were set up by turnovers. One of them was directly affected by that stud defensive end, Thibodeau, who had a strip sack, which led to a three-yard touchdown drive. I don't like the way the Oregon offense looked last week, but they did run the ball okay. But that's against the Fresno State team that, you know, one of the they're a decent Mountain West team, but, you know, now you're going into Columbus, whole different environment. And, you know, last week Oregon was at home. I thought Austin Stadium was going to be rocking. I thought the fans would light that place up, and I really thought Oregon would pull away in that game. It didn't happen. I'm not in love with their quarterback, Anthony Brown. I always thought he was just kind of maybe a little above average at Boston College. They have some good running backs, but, you know, 3.8 yards per carry really don't cut it for me. On the flip side, I was really impressed by Ohio State in the second half of that game last week. C.J. Stroud seemed to kind of hit his stride in the second half, and more so than anything, big plays. He found those great receivers that he has, and we found out, you know, and a lot of people have talked about it, Travion Henderson can fly. He had that 70-yard touchdown, which is basically a screen pass, and it looked like, you know, it looked like he wasn't even really running,
right?
But he was flying by everybody. That was so impressive. So he's got a lot of weapons out there, and I just think that Ohio State will wear Oregon down by the end of this game, especially with the atmosphere. I do worry about the Buckeyes' run defense a little bit. They gave up 203 rushing yards last week, 4.1 yards per carry, but they really struggled when Ibrahim was in the game. And, you know, before the injury, it kind of took some sails out of Minnesota, I think emotionally, as well as obviously removing their best player from the offense. Two ways I'm looking at this game. I do like Ohio State a little bit to cover, as long as not dipping above 14. But we're looking at the over because we do think that Oregon will be able to run the ball a little bit. And Ohio State, they just look like the offense is hitting all their stride. And I'll tell you what, looking at Fresno State throwing for 298 yards last week with Jake Haener, a lot of that came after Thibodeau was out. If Thibodeau doesn't play, I love the over in this game. And I think it's a reasonable number right now. It's 63.5, 64. Mm-hmm. So I get it early if you're going to take it. It has jumped since it came out.
Chris, I got to dig into this one because you mentioned it a minute ago, and I'm really wondering, my head's spinning over this game. Michigan crushes Western Michigan in a tune-up game. They get a tune-up game. The Buckeyes had to play another opponent that's in our own conference. You mentioned Montana over Washington. I think the final of that game was 13-7. Now Washington travels to the Big House. Okay, they're in Michigan. They're getting 7 points. How do you break this one down? And if Michigan was looking good last week over maybe a not as strong opponent, do you expect more from this Washington team?
I do expect more from this Washington team. I going into the season, we thought they were a team that would contend for the Pac-12 title. I'm not totally writing that off yet. If you remember, this is going back a while, but Virginia Tech, it was probably around 2009 or something, lost their opener against James Madison, and people wrote them off. They turned around and won the ACC that year. Mm-hmm. So I do think that there's a possibility that Washington bounces back. They did have a 14-2 edge, first down edge in the first half last week, but they only led 7-3. You know, typically if you have a 14-2 first down edge on a team, you're going to be winning a game by more than that, and that would have changed the direction of that game in the second half. Dylan Morris had a rough game last week, 3 interceptions. I think he does bounce back this week. And this is a Huskies defense that held opponents to 67 yards per game below their average last year. Michigan just lost their best receiver, Ronnie Bell, to an injury, who also was affecting the game in special teams last week. I agree that Michigan was impressive last year, but I think that was against an overmatched Western Michigan team who typically struggles against Power 5 teams. Remember, Michigan won in the blowout last year in the opener against Minnesota.
Correct.
And then was 0-5 against the spread the rest of the season. So I'm not totally in love with Michigan right now. I do think that there's value to be had with Washington because they're a much better team than they showed last week. They do have some injury issues at wide receiver, but their best receiver is their tight end, Cade Otton. So I think that Washington has got some value on them this week. They're getting 7 points. I think they'll cover as the dog. We're also looking at the under in this game as a possible play. And I'll even tell the listeners, you know, we don't normally give out our star-rated plays on a radio show like this, but I will tell you, this is our underdog play of the week, Washington getting the points against Michigan. We really like the Huskies here because we just think there's a lot of value. Much better team than what they showed last week.
All right, then let's go to one we have an interest in college-wise for some information from you, Chris Van Dine, because of a former graduate of Perry High School. He is now the head coach at Iowa State, Matt Campbell. Big game between number 10 Iowa, number 9 Iowa State. It's at Iowa State, and the homestanding Cyclones are 4.5-point favorites. Give us some information on this matchup.
This is a great game. You talk about two teams that play really good defense and two teams that have been on a run for a while. You know, Iowa ended last year in a 6-game win streak. They finished plus 55 yards per game. 5 of those 6 wins were by 14 points or more. Iowa State, plus 96 yards per game. They split out with Oklahoma last year. Iowa won 5 straight meetings in the series, at 3-1-1 against the spread. But the thing that really is lighting us up, the thing that we're really getting excited for, because I think this is a tough game to call either way on the side,
yeah.
We look at the total, and we really see something strong here. The under is 14-2 in the last 16 meetings. The last 2 meetings, neither team has hit 20 points. Iowa's defense has 7 starters back, only allowed 16 points a game last year. Held Indiana to 233 yards last week. And that's a pretty good Indiana offense. But their 34 points they scored on offense were a little deceiving because 2 touchdowns came off pick sixes. So they really only put up 20 points on the with the offense. Iowa State's defense has 9 starters back from a unit that only allowed 21 points a game and held opponents 74 yards per game below their average last year. Last week, very pedestrian opener for Iowa State. Only won 16-10 against an in-state FCS rival, Northern Iowa. So we're looking at the under here. It's definitely got some value. Both teams, really good defenses. Both teams traditionally played this game low scoring. And I think that both teams are going to be probably, you know, not topping much more than 20 points here. So we're going to go with the under, and it is currently at around 46.5.
That's going to be a great game. See, there's the information. We didn't know 2 of those touchdowns were on pick sixes.
Yep.
And in a game like this, it makes you wonder how much longer a guy like Matt Campbell can stay at Ohio State when or at Iowa State if and when you take down Iowa again. And we're all imagining that it's just a matter of time till he either goes Power 5 or makes that move up to the NFL. Chris Van Dine is our guest right now, professional handicapper at North Coast Sports, ncsports.com. Chris, the thing that I took away, and I don't like putting numbers on these teams. I don't like preseason rankings. I don't even like them the first couple of weeks, even though the Buckeyes moved up. And like I said earlier, we're huge Buckeye fans here, especially on the Kenny and JT show. But when you look at things over the weekend and you use other teams in the Power 5 as a barometer to see maybe how good your favorite team is it as clear as we think that Bama is just heads and tails better than everyone else again this year? Or was that a stiff Miami team?
I think Miami just came out, I don't want to say flat, because obviously that if you come out flat in the opener, there's something wrong with you. But I think they just got overwhelmed. And I think that, you know, Alabama, a lot of people didn't know what to expect with that Alabama offense. I don't think that Alabama is head over heels above everybody else. I do think that over time you're going to find a couple teams that are going to compete with them. One team that I watched on Monday night that I'll tell you what, I was really impressed with, Ole Miss. I think they'll be the team in the SEC that will give Alabama everything they can handle. Lane Kiffin already did it last year, you know, that they really played Alabama tough. And I think that the offense was already impressive. Matt Corral probably going to be, if not, at least the first-round draft pick, possibly the first quarterback off the board next year. And the defense was what really impressed me, because that was a defense that leaked like a sieve last year. But this year, they look like they're flying to the ball, knocking heads around, sometimes a little too much because of all the targeting penalties on Monday. If you watch that game,
it was everywhere, Chris.
Yeah. I thought they were going to have that one play where I thought two guys were going to get in one play. I was actually, that would have been interesting to see. But I was really impressed with Mississippi's defense, and I think that they will give Alabama a run for their money. I do think there's some teams outside of the SEC that will give Alabama a run for their money, Ohio State being one of them by the end of the year.
Final thing, we'll move on to the NFL. You know, there were a lot of targeting calls last week. Some of them were even reversed. Is it possible that they're really going to magnify this and really look into it more? Because I got news for you. These guys get kicked out of these games and they miss the first half of the next game or whatever it is. That's going to affect a lot of the point spreads, won't it?
It will, and it's aggravating. You know, I've always been a proponent that I understand the penalty call. I think we've moved to a point where we understand, you know, what we're not supposed to be hitting people in the head. So at least, you know, you can call the penalty, but the target, the ejections really get me, you know. I just think it's a little excessive to kick a kid out of a game for, you know, a little bit of lost technique. And a lot of times, you know, we see the running back leading with his head all the time. I just don't know what the tackler is supposed to do in some of these situations. They're not out there usually with intent to hurt anybody. They're just trying to make a play. And a lot of times, you know, especially these guys coming across the middle, you know, the receivers, they're not trying to blow anybody up. It's just what happens because it's the nature of the game.
Sure.
All right, let's go to the NFL, Chris, because as everybody in Northeast Ohio knows, the Browns kick it off Sunday in Kansas City. They're getting anywhere from 5.5 to 6.5 points on the road at KC, a team they took to the wire last year in the playoffs when the Chiefs were banged up and Mahomes didn't play in the second half. So how much does last year's game play into how you guys look at this year's game, or does it not play into it at all, and how do you see this one?
I don't think last year's game plays a whole lot into it. It was a playoff game, you know, the high anticipation. I don't want to say the Chiefs took the Browns lightly in that game, but I do think that Cleveland played better than anyone expected them to. A lot of people thought KC would run away with that game. Obviously, the Browns were in it the whole way. But Cleveland was outgained in that game. I do think that, Cleveland was outgained by 130 yards in that game.
Right.
I do think the Kansas City, coming into the season, we expect them to do well. 4-0 in season openers. They did end the season on 0-8 ATS run last year. A lot of that was backdoor covers. They were getting backdoor covered left and right, you know, going up like two or three touchdowns and letting up a couple touchdowns late. Browns have lost 16 straight season openers, 8-14, ATS in non-division away games. Kansas City plus 60 yards per game last year. Cleveland was minus 6 yards per game. I do like this Kansas City team once again. I think that Cleveland will be a playoff contender. I think they'll be coming out of the AFC Central, AFC North. But at the end of the day, I do think that Kansas City gets it done here.
Chris, I don't want to ask you about a game in general, but I want to ask you about this because we don't see that often, teams flip-flopping or trading quarterbacks. Who benefits from the Rams in Matthew Stafford or the Lions in Jared Goff?
I got to go with the Rams. I just think that Stafford played better last year, the last couple of years. Goff seems to be really – I know he dealt with some injuries last year, but, you know, there just seemed to be something a little amiss with him, and I just think that Stafford, you know, all that he's done in the last few years, I can't go against Matthew Stafford. I think that he's in a great situation to have success in Los Angeles. And Stafford, just the way he ended the year last year was kind of just unsettling.
All right, let's turn our attention to the first NFL game of the season, which happens tonight, Chris Van Dine, and that is the defending Super Bowl champions, led by 88-year-old Tom Brady, taking on Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, and the Cowboys. And I'm seeing this one anywhere from -8.5 up to -9.5 being played in Tampa Bay. When you look at this one tonight, how do you see this one shaping up for the first game of the NFL season?
So first, I have to say that I was very wrong about the Bucs myself last year.
So was I.
We have another NFL handicapper here that tried to talk some sense into me. But I did not think that Tom Brady was going to continue to do what he did at his age, and he proved me wrong and then some. Bucks are the first defending champ to have all 22 starters back since 1979, and that says something. The Cowboys do get Dak Prescott back. Cowboys have failed to cover 11 of the last 16 contests. But I do like the fact that Dallas's offense averaged 165 yards per game, more than their opponents allow, in those first four games last year before Dak got hurt. End of the day, I'm not going to give a prediction in this game, guys, because we are selling this on our website and through North Coast Sports. You can call 1-800-654-3448. Just $12, you get our marquee for this game tonight. That's $12. Go to ncsports.com or 1-800-654-3448, and we'll be happy to give that play to you for $12.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, if you go to ncsports.com and tell our listeners about it, Chris, is you can sign up for either the Power Sweep or the Power Plays newsletters that you get emailed weekly, right?
Yes. Now, the nice thing is, if you're not sure if you want to jump on board for the full season, you can do a single issue of Power Sweep or Power Plays for just $10.
Okay.
So if you want to just try it out, see if you like it, see if you like the information we're providing, jump on board for a week, $10. You get Power Sweep or Power Plays. If you want to jump on board for the entire season, I'll even throw out a code for you that we gave out on our podcast. You get $10 off the whole season of Power Sweep or Power Plays if you use the code, and this is going to sound bad on the radio show, but Oregon was the code we used. So $10 off gets you for the season right now is $109, so it knocks it down to $99. You get $10 off the whole season of Power Sweep or Power Plays. That's on ncsports.com, or you call 1-800-654-3448.
Are you surprised that Ohio has yet to get legalized sportsbook gambling?
No, because Ohio, not to pick on Ohio, because I'm raised in Ohio. I went to high school in Ohio. I've lived in Ohio now for the last 6 years, 7 years. We seem to be the last when it comes to that stuff. West Virginia and PA got casino gaming, slot machines, and cards before we did, and table gaming, and Ohio came in last, and you know that they followed suit a while after both of those states and those things. So
right.
I think that Ohio will come around. I've heard as early as next April. I read an article recently. I'm hoping that's the case. I have a feeling they want to probably not start with March Madness because I don't think they'd be able to handle the volume right off the bat. But they're going to get it. It's going to happen. It's just, it's one of those political things where they're trying to figure out who's getting all the money and stuff like that. And, I'm not privy to those kind of meetings, but that's the gist I get. And I think that it will happen. I just hope it happens sooner than later.
Yeah, I do as well, JT as well. Mm-hmm. 21 states have it, I think, right now at least. So hopefully the Buckeye State doesn't wait too long and end up being the last state to get it. That way they can regulate it and everybody can have some fun with it and do it wisely with the money that you can afford to wager on these things. And that's why it's important when we get a guy like you on in the Power Suite, the Power Plays, those newsletters, because you guys provide the information that helps whoever it is betting on these games, give them the information they need that maybe they don't get anywhere else. Correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We pride ourselves on that information that we give, the little things like, did you know Eastern Michigan is 19-3 as an away underdog? 19-3, not a team that you think about, is right. A team you want to bet every week. But what our eyes light up when we see Eastern Michigan as an away underdog. And they happen to be an away underdog this week at Wisconsin getting 26 points. So obviously that's a game we're looking at for our late phone plays and stuff of that nature. So, that's the kind of information you get with North Coast Sports and Power Sweep and Power Plays.
All right, one last question before we cut you loose. JT and I graduated from Baldwin Wallace College. Can we bet on Division III football? Can we bet on Mount Union when they're giving 70 points to a team?
I think we have Otterbein this week.
And still, be able to cover with D3 football with Mount Union and Baldwin Wallace, or are those games not out there to wager on?
You know what? I went to Ashland University, and if they don't have the Division II schools yet, like Ashland, they don't have Division III.
All right. Now, I was just wondering.
Sorry to break that to you guys.
Yeah, because Mount Union, I'd give the points and take Mount almost every week if that were the case, and I'd be retiring next year.
You just answered your own question. That's why they're not on the board.
That would be the easiest money in the world.
Yep, no doubt. Hey, Chris, we appreciate the time. Look forward to chatting with you each and every week out there. Give that website and phone number again for people who want to get this information that do like to gamble so they have that information that'll help them.
It is ncsports.com, N as in North, C as in Coast, ncsports.com, and then 1-800-654-3448.
Chris, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Chris Van Dyne, lead handicapper, North Coast Sports. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisV160 and check out the website ncsports.com right there. I guess, yeah, JT, you're right, because you always tell me Vegas wasn't built on winners.
Yep.
It was built on losers. And if Mount's going to cover every week, they don't want to put that out there. So maybe that has something to do with it. Unless you're down in Alliance and maybe you could bet down there, you know, for a hot dog or a beer or something like that. All right, let's do this. We got to get a break in. Plenty more to come your way.